Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show.
Hello and welcome to this week's Medicinal Monday episode on the Alter Your Health podcast. I'm Dr. Susanna Alter.
And I'm Dr. Ben.
And we're both naturopathic doctors who support individuals in reversing disease and reclaiming optimal health through whole food plant-based nutrition and mind-body medicine.
And we're excited to talk about stevia and monk fruit, two quote-unquote natural sweeteners today. A lot of people have questions about these. It's maybe one of the most common questions we get in the realm of whole food plant-based nutrition and eating to prevent and reverse disease. And I guess just to start it off, just to preface the conversation, these are products that we don't generally consume, at least not on a regular basis in any sort of way. We don't have them in our household. But it's kind of been in this gray area. What is our relationship? What is our stance? What is our understanding? This was a great opportunity for us to kind of get to know these products, get to know these constituents of plants, because that's really what they are, a little bit better.
Yeah. And just to summarize a little bit about, you know, what sweeteners we do typically use in our kitchen. We actually have an old podcast episode on all the natural sweeteners that we love, but we like the natural sweeteners that are minimally processed, that actually have some nutrition in them. And so we think of maple syrup, honey, which isn't vegan, but many whole food plant-based eaters also enjoy some honey. And even coconut sugar is pretty minimally processed when we consider all the different sweeteners on the market. Yeah. If we then compare this with the other end of the spectrum of just the zero, you know, the totally nutrient devoid sweeteners, hyper processed sweeteners like white sugar, beet sugar, brown sugar. I mean, there's so many forms. Corn syrup, well, high fructose corn syrup, even agave nectar.
I would like to just interject and say that the natural sweeteners we like are more nutritious, meaning they have some minerals, they have some nutrition in them. And then there are the empty calories, which is just like, you know, agave and brown rice syrup and you know, the more stripped down sweeteners. And then there's the real toxic stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Because then there's the stuff that is, you know, GMO filled with chemicals and preservatives and whatnot. Of course, high fructose corn syrup and like the GMO beets that are grown to make sugar, like quote unquote sugar. Most of the time when we see sugar on a label, it's from beet sugar, which is a GMO product totally laden with pesticides and herbicides and whatnot. And then there's the synthetic kind of industrialized engineered chemicals like aspartame, like sucralose, and like saccharin, which take on a number of different names. These are just chemicals that are patented, and then they're products that are derived from these chemicals. And those are definitely, I think somehow they're controversial, but I don't know how it is a controversy that these chemicals, especially when consumed on any sort of regular basis,
definitely are toxic to the body and specifically the nervous system.
Yeah. And I guess one category that didn't make its way into our little intro here yet are the alcohol sugars that also tend to be zero calorie, like xylitol and erythritol. And these actually have a pretty, you know, they have a better reputation for being safer for sure compared to the aspartame and the sucralose and the saccharin. But, you know, I think
maybe we can do another
episode. Maybe we can do another episode on those too. Exactly.
Yeah. So that kind of sets the stage, the preface, the conversation around quote unquote natural sweeteners. Of course, we've already made our stance in terms of what we generally consume, but there is this gray area of quote unquote natural sweeteners that really consists of stevia and monk fruit. And these get slapped with the label of natural sweeteners because they are derived from whole plant foods or whole plants. Stevia is, of course, a leaf, or maybe you didn't know that, but it's a shrub. And I remember eating a dried stevia leaf, and it was, in fact, very sweet. But interestingly enough, it also, like most other plants, has a complex flavor profile. So it had bitter qualities as well. And it was, I thought it was like, you know, it was intense, but interesting. But then of course there are the stevia extracts, which are far removed from the whole stevia leaf. And the same goes for monk fruit, which honestly has only come into my awareness in the last couple few years. And I think that is becoming more of a popular quote unquote natural sweetener. But it's very similar to stevia in that it really comes from a bigger plant, which is in fact like a gourd that grows on a vine in different parts of the world. But then they extract a specific constituent from the monk fruit, just like they extract specific constituents from stevia that are called glycosides, which naturally have a sweetness to them. They're naturally sweet. And therefore, they throw away all the rest of the constituents, all the rest of the nutrition in those plants, in the stevia and the monk fruit. And we're left with just a couple of chemicals that are really sweet. And in the case of both stevia and monk fruit extract products, and you know, because we use the term stevia and monk fruit, but it's really not stevia and monk fruit. Stevia is the leaf. Monk fruit is a gourd. It's the stevia constituents and the monk fruit constituents that are the glycosides that are the sweeteners. And when you look at these constituents, they are anywhere between 200 to 300 times sweeter than quote unquote sugar, being sucrose, which is the combination of glucose and fructose molecule. That's kind of table sugar. And that's what things are compared to in terms of, you know, how sweet are they? And, you know, when reading about stevia and monk fruit, I found it interesting because there was kind of this slant talking about these products as being really, really, what's the word? Sustainable, in that per amount of food, per amount of sweetener, you have a lot more sweetness. So therefore, you only need a little drop. You only need a little drop. But the fact is that most people don't just do a little itty bitty drop. And I guess we're just kind of cutting to the chase here. That the bottom line kind of risk with these natural sweeteners is that we are kind of creating this hyper palatable response. We are dulling our taste buds, our sweet receptors on our tongue. And therefore, we're less sensitive to the natural sweeteners that exist in our bananas and our apples and our potatoes, even in our carrots and our celery. Every sugar that we consume from whole plant foods has sweetness to it. And when we bombard our sweet taste receptors with these compounds that are designed to light up the taste centers in our brain, create this super physiologic dopamine response, it becomes a really slippery slope that some people call the pleasure trap, termed from a book written by Dr. Alan Goldhammer and Doug Lyle. But in any event, that's kind of like the synopsis of this story around monk fruit and stevia is that it is a slippery slope. There's some, you know, information to fill in, but Dr. Susanna, do you want to?
Yeah, I just want to acknowledge our comment from Val, who says, you know, when she's looking for some sweetness, she chooses maple, maple syrup or fruit. And yes, that's our approach as well. And you know, someone might argue, but can't you still create that sugar addiction with maple syrup or with honey? And yeah, of course you could if you're overdoing it with your maple syrup or honey. But what's really interesting, I'll just speak from my personal experience. Cool. Whenever I have consumed a product with stevia or monk fruit, like, we just got actually a protein powder, because for those of you who don't know, I'm pregnant and trying.
You're eating protein powder? You let the cat out of the bag.
During my horrible food aversion phases, I just simply wasn't eating enough, and I wasn't meeting the protein needs for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, maybe I should try protein powder. Bought a very the cleanest protein powder I could find. Since then, I found a cleaner one, but it had monk fruit in it, and I just could not tolerate even like a teaspoon of the protein powder, because it was so overly sweet. And of course, this is coming from a palate that is used to fruit and just small amounts of honey and maple syrup to sweeten things. But I think, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that a lot of the processed foods that have these zero calorie stevia and monk fruit sweeteners in them, they really do overdo it with the sweetness. And it really is fostering that kind of hyper palatability of the tongue and the brain response to our dopamine release when we encounter so much sweetness.
Yeah. So we kind of just threw out the quote unquote cons, kind of the negative effect of these processed natural sweeteners that they extract the constituent. But I don't want to jump over the positive thing that, you know, some of these products are touted as, and it's true. And these things can be helpful for people, knowing, you know, we always like to, you know, use the informed consent, knowing the potential consequences in terms of our neurophysiology, food addiction, sweet cravings, and kind of just perpetuating that cycle. The fact is that these natural sweeteners are in fact zero calorie, because we're not really eating anything. We're just taking the chemical constituents that have been extracted from those plants. So we don't have any nutrition. We just have that chemical extract, the glycosides from stevia and monk fruit. And due to the fact that it's zero calorie with none of that nutrition, it is blood sugar stabilizing. You know, it doesn't elicit a blood sugar response. Therefore, it doesn't elicit any sort of insulin response. So if someone is dealing with blood sugar regulation issues, eating something sweetened with stevia and monk fruit would be more favorable than eating something sweetened with other sugars that are blood sugar raising. But we understand what is at the root cause of blood sugar issues, which is, you know, the intracellular fat and causing insulin resistance. And the way to get out of that cycle is to eat carbohydrate rich foods that are, you know, naturally balanced with fiber and water and other phytonutrients. And then we don't have to worry about these blood, you know, the blood sugar effects from our carbohydrate rich whole plant foods. But that is
just to elaborate, because that was an oversimplification, but what you're suggesting for insulin resistance is not just to like carbo load, but specifically to eat a whole food plant-based diet that's naturally low in fat and higher in carbohydrate rich foods.
Yeah, and that allows our body to reverse the underlying cause of insulin resistance. And then we don't need to worry about, oh, you know, managing our sugar response by eating, you know, zero calorie sweeteners and whatnot.
Right. And also, I know we didn't look up the specific study, and it's just from my memory, but there is evidence showing that individuals who do consume more of the zero calorie sweeteners that tend to be so sweet actually do have a tendency to, funny enough, consume more calories, consume excessive calories. And probably many of those calories are coming from other, you know, sweets that, you know, are probably processed and probably also have, you know, the kind of metabolic dilemma combination of lots of fat, lots of salt, and lots of sugar.
And that's because of the fact that these, you know, not super processed, I'll get in the processed nature of these products in a second, but the constituents, the glycosides, are 200 to 300 times more sweet than sugar, and therefore kind of create this super palatable or hyper palatability, super physiologic dopamine response. And that tells our brain we need to eat more, we need to eat more. So it does perpetuate that, but it's metabolically favorable, quote unquote, based on just the kind of reductionistic look at what it's doing in the moment in a meal, sweetened beverages with these products or whatever else. You know, if you were to look at someone drinking a Coca-Cola sweetened with high fructose corn syrup or even cane sugar, anything else, any other sugar that has nutrition in it, like meaning sugar, like what am I trying to say? Meaning carbohydrates, proteins, etc. Versus stevia and monk fruit extracts, which don't have any carbohydrates. They don't have any nutrition in them. Again, just kind of belaboring the point, just a constituent. Then the blood sugar will raise from drinking a Coca-Cola. Blood sugar won't raise from drinking in kind of a closed bubble scenario from drinking the stevia sweetened beverage. Anyway, I did want to talk about the processed nature of these foods, because to me, this is where things get a little bit concerning, I would say. Just because, again, we've got our stevia plant, our stevia leaf, we've got our monk fruit gourd, but then how do you actually get the constituents in stevia? It's mainly steviocide, and I haven't pronounced this word out loud. Rebadioside from stevia, and then mogrosides in monk fruit. You know, sorry, not an expert with the chemistry. But how do you get those glycosides? Well, it turns out you need a lot of chemicals and a lot of steps in processing with stevia. There's, you know, some publications around the fact that there are like 40 unique steps to get the stevia leaf to the stevia bottle or stevia extract or stevia steviocide extract. And I wanted to read this excerpt from Wikipedia about monk fruit. So the sweet taste of the fruit comes mainly from mogrosides, a group of triterpene glycosides that make up about 1% of the flesh of fresh fruit. So 1% of monk fruit is this mogroside. Through solvent extraction, a powder containing 80% mogrosides can be obtained, the main one being mogroside 5, escoside. Other similar agents in the fruit are cyaminosides and whatever. a dish of monk fruit sweetener in... Oh, sorry about this. That doesn't make sense. The peel and seeds are removed and the pulp fruit is made into a fruit concentrate or puree. Additional juice may be extracted from the remaining pulp by hot water. The juice is homogenized, acidified through the... slightly to prevent shelling and improve the flavor, and treated with pectinase and other enzymes to break down the pectin. Most of the other off-flavor agents are then removed from ion exchange resins such as sulfonated polyesterine, more chemicals here, polyesterine, divinyl benzene copolymer, or polycyclic acid. Polyacrylic acid. Alternatively, the off flavors can be absorbed by agents like charcoal or bentonite, which are removed by filtration or precipitated with gelatin or other gelling agents. Most of the remaining sulfurous volatiles are then removed by low pressure evaporation. That's, you know, and then pasteurized to kill any microorganisms. So that's kind of the nature by which you take the fruit, the monk fruit, and make the monk fruit extract. And there are some concerning ingredients or what am I trying to say? Not ingredients in the product.
Agents in the process.
Processing agents used in the extraction process, which I don't know what that does to like the end product in terms of toxicity load. Moral of the story, you know, we kind of definitely classify this in the yellow light food category, you know, something to be consumed in moderation, something to be mindful about, just because of the lack of knowledge around the toxic effects from the processed nature of these sort of products.
Yeah.
That being said, there are some documented effects of quote unquote toxicity from stevia, mainly concerning the microbiome. Stevia is known to kind of disrupt optimal microbial balance. Most of these studies are done in animals like rats. But in any event, you know, we don't really want to consume products that are going to throw our microbial ecosystem out of balance. We want to promote diversity and harmony in there. And it turns out stevia doesn't seem to be helping us with that.
Yeah. I mean, I would even consider these sweeteners between yellow light and red light, meaning, you know, red light you definitely want to stay away from, and yellow light's like an occasional, in moderation, you enjoy, you know, these yellow light foods. But in between, like an orange light food, in the sense that, like, okay, if you're like out and about and someone offers you a beverage and it's sweetened with stevia, it's like an every now and then thing, but not like, you know, a little bit every day. I feel like even that kind of daily practice of using stevia can create that kind of, you know, sugar craving, sugar addictive cycle of the pleasure trap. And yeah, if we just consider, you know, the process of taking sap from a maple tree and boiling it into syrup, or honey from a honeycomb, or even, you know, coconut syrup is also from the sap of a coconut tree. Very minimally processed compared to these 40 steps that you mentioned of taking a stevia leaf and turning it into that white stevia powder. And, you know, I think our message throughout this Alter Your Health podcast is really, you know, we want to encourage people to live aligned with nature as much as possible.
And that's always a good rule of thumb. Stay close to nature, right? Stay close to nature. And the monk fruit extract, the stevia extracts, though naturally derived, though coming from plants, not very close to nature. Just that slippery slope. So hopefully, you know, this is not demonizing it. This is just sharing the information. And this is supporting you in making your informed decisions when choosing products with sweeteners in there. But at the end of the day, we're not afraid of the naturally occurring carbohydrates in maple syrup. And I totally forgot dates as well. Dates and date sugar, great sources of sweetness and sweeteners. So we're not afraid of those carbohydrates, especially in the context of whole food plant-based eating. Nutrient dense, naturally low in fat, supporting our bodies and reversing insulin resistance and balancing blood sugar naturally. I guess that's kind of a wrap here. Any last thoughts about the sweeteners?
That's it. That's a wrap.
All right. Any other announcements?
I don't think so.
If you are wanting to learn more, I guess I'll just share, as always, open invitation to join the Thrive on Plants program. This is how we empower you with knowledge and education, understanding whole food, plant-based nutritional science and lifestyle medicine so you can heal yourself. So come on in, you can join us and check out more, learn more at www.alter.health.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next week for another Medicinal Monday.
Peace and love.